Most people are focused on how herbivores have responded to climate change, but no one's really looked at carnivores in this fashion. They've assumed they've just been tracking the herbivores, whereas in fact what we can have shown is that they're not really tracking the herbivores, but they are tracking the climate changes.
Okay, so how did you show this?
We took measurements of the elbow joint, specifically of the end of the humerus, the long bone in the upper arm.
So you were measuring the elbows on the fossils of these dogs?
Well, first we did it on the living forms, so we had some sort of reference data, and then we went and measured the fossils, yes.
You have these elbow joints and you've seen that they've changed, but how can you match that back to the fact that that's due to climate change?
Because we look at the timing of when it happened. Basically, you look over time and you have a timeline and you see, okay, when does the change take place? And that is, can be shown to be correlated with other data, other indicators of the habitat. So you can show that things are coincident.
When Christine says indicators, she means things like fossilised plants. We can use these to see how the environment changed over hundreds of thousands of years from woodlands to something more like the savannah. This meant that our dogs' great-great-great-great, well, you get the point, their great ancestors, went from being ambush predators that could hide and pounce to something more like a cheetah in open grassland, where speed was the important factor. But why couldn't this climate change have also correlated with prey getting faster? Then we get to keep our nice, straightforward idea of an arms race.
Because that's something actually I showed before a long while ago. The prey first get their long legs at the start of the spread of the grasslands at about 20 million years ago or earlier, whereas the carnivores don't catch up for at least 20 million years.
So what were dogs like before this change?
Well, it sort of varied. There were actually two separate radiations of dogs, two different subfamilies before the current one. The first radiation was between about 30 and 18 million years ago. And they started off being rather small, a bit like mongooses. Then there was a second major radiation. And these were the Borophagine dogs that were very, very diverse in their anatomy. And then in the background here, the modern family of dogs, so the Canini, they were sort of lurking as small little fox-like things. And then after the big extinctions that basically affected all kinds of mammals in North America about 5 million years ago, they then sort of radiated and became not just the kind of other diversity of dogs you see today, like the foxes and stuff, but also into some pursuit forms like wolves.
These pursuit dogs, these are modern day dogs that we have today as well.
Right. So things like the wolf, the hunting dog in Africa, the dhole in India, they're all examples of sort of largest sized dogs who have evolved this kind of elbow joint and that kind of behaviour.
What about our domestic dogs?
Well, they, of course, are descended from wolves and they show some of the same anatomy, yes.
So if we hadn't had this change, our dogs would look more like mongoose?
Possibly. It's always hard to know exactly what would have happened. I mean, there would have been other dogs around who would have looked more like, you know, big hyenas, but they wouldn't have been close relatives of our current dogs.
This external environment, obviously at the moment we have had such an influence that we're changing it incredibly quickly now with climate change. What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get much faster evolution in our animals?
I don't think so. I think it means that things are just going to go extinct at an enormous rate. We are changing the habitat much too fast for evolution to be able to occur, to match it. And even if evolution could match it, we're taking up all the available land, you know?